DiscerningHearts.com presents Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. Ordained a priest from the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania, Monsignor Essef has served as a retreat director and confessor to Blessed Mother Teresa. He continues to offer direction and retreats internationally for the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity. Monsignor Essef encountered St. Padre Pio, who would become a spiritual father to him. He has lived around the globe, including Lebanon, serving the pontifical missions there. It is a Catholic organization established by Blessed John Paul II to bring the good news to the world, especially to the poor. Monsignor Essef assisted the founders of the Institute for Priestly Formation and continues to serve as a spiritual director for the Institute. He also actively serves as a retreat leader and director to bishops, priests, sisters, seminarians, and other religious leaders. Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. I'm your host, Chris McGregor.
We have grown so suspicious of the stranger, the scams, you know, that people pull on people. Mm-hmm. And you get a telephone call or someone come into your door, and how these tricksters make us so suspicious. We go further and further into our shells. And we, you know, now the first reading is magnificent. I know as a child, my family was Mideastern. My grandfather, and it's so easy for me to see him in this story of Abraham. And we as Christians have even a deeper awareness of God in the stranger than Abraham had. But here he is. Listen to the reading for this Sunday. It's from the book of Genesis. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the terebinth of Mamre, as he sat in the entrance of his tent while the day was growing hot. Now, the opening line, if you miss that in the reading, the Lord appeared. And how did he appear? Looking up, Abraham saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he ran from the entrance of the tent to greet them. And bowing down to the ground, he said, "Sir, if I may ask you this favor, please do not go by and pass your servant. Let some water be brought that you may bathe your feet, and then rest yourself under the tree. Now that you have come this close to your servant, let me bring you a little food that you may refresh yourselves, and afterwards you may go on your way." The men replied, "Very well, do as you have said." Abraham hastened into the tent and told Sarah, "Quick, three measures of fine flour, knead it and make rolls." He ran to the herd, picked out a tender, choice steer, and gave it to his servant, who quickly prepared it. Then Abraham got some curds and milk, as well as the steer that had been prepared, and set these before the three men, and he waited on them under the tree while they ate. They asked Abraham, "Where is your wife, Sarah?" He replied, "There in the tent." One of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah will then have a son." This old man, who had been promised by God that he would have offspring by his wife, and they, you know, he believed the word of God. Sarah, not so much, but here God appears to him. That's what the scripture says. And he sees in this stranger God. And notice how the hospitality and the care that he gives to the stranger. We Christians have a magnificent opportunity because the Benedictines have, it's a marvelous thing, they got it from St. Benedict, who used to see, and they used to have in their monasteries, venit hospes, venit Christus. Here comes a guest, here comes Christ. What I would see in this story is something from my childhood. My grandfather would be out in front of his house, and a person would be coming by. Maybe they were selling something. Maybe they were on their way, or maybe someone from our parish. And that usually, my grandfather was a deacon, and he'd say, "Hawil, come in. Come in and have some coffee. Come in and rest yourselves." And no one could pass by without him inviting him. Venit hospes. Here is someone who is a stranger. Venit Christus. This is Christ passing by. And in our day, we have been so estranged from one another. And it's the distance that we're beginning to put between ourselves and others. Not only, I think, because of the scam. You just take people who want to get close to one another and how distant we are. Texting, for instance, rather than be present and talk face to face, we just have people who are texting each other. We are more in touch with the phone that we're with than the person. The presence of the other has become so distant. The distance that we have from one another. One time, St. Francis, this happened in the 13th century, that he heard about this town where the people had been so afraid of one another that they all had locked doors, shades pulled, and they had become so frightened of one another because of the crimes and the kind of robberies or whatever it was that was going on in that village. St. Francis with his brothers, these happy, joyful, open men who had nothing to lose, just came into town and they began calling, "Come on out, come on out, come on out. We're going to have a mission here in your town." And they were there right in the middle of the streets. And there they were singing and joyfully reading the scriptures and praying. And soon people's doors became unlocked. Slowly they were joined by some. And finally everyone in the town began to see that they really had nothing to be afraid of from one another. Jesus, through Francis and his brothers, his little Franciscans, had come into town. And the fire of love, and each one came and joined in that fire. The magnificent truth about Christ in one another. Here comes a stranger. Here comes Christ. But the magnificent teaching of today's gospel, especially for those of us who are going to be at Mass, in the story of Jesus, who comes to the home of his friends, Martha and Mary. Luke has a knack of bringing out how intimate Christ wants to be with each of us and how you can be in his presence and still really miss that opportunity. And so this famous story that Luke tells in the 10th chapter of his gospel, Jesus entered a village where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary who sat beside the Lord at his feet, listening to him as he spoke. Martha, burdened with much serving, came to Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do all the serving. Tell her to help me." The Lord said to her in reply, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is needed of one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." That powerful story. When you go to Mass, how many times you can go to Mass with your family, and some come out so peaceful, and some come out nervous and worried and still burdened and anxious. Jesus is present with us. When we go to Mass this Sunday, and what goes on in our hearts, how people can come. There can be, it isn't just going to Mass. It isn't just being there. Where is your heart? Where is your mind and heart when you're there with Him? He is present to you. How often we are not present to Him. Our mind is on so many other things, and our heart is so concerned. And so we go in and are in the presence of the Lord without really receiving from Him His words, His peace, His love. Now, this is not only something that we can get at Mass this Sunday. This is where we will hear this gospel proclaimed and this reading from Genesis about Abraham. But Paul, in his epistle, tells us something that we could take home. You know, it's like you're at Mass and you hear this, but Paul, in his epistle to the Colossians, says, "But now it has been manifested to His holy ones, to whom God chose to make known the riches of His glory." Now, God is revealing to us. He revealed to Abraham His presence in the strangers. He revealed to Martha and Mary His presence as He came into their house. Of this mystery among the Gentiles, it is Christ in you, the hope for glory. Where is Jesus? He is in you. It is He whom we proclaim, admonishing everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. Christ is so available, not just when you're at Mass, when you hear that He's present, but you could take Christ into your daily life, into your home, wherever you go. You and me. Beloved priest brothers, whether you're in Australia or whether you're in Canada or New Zealand or any place, wherever you are, He is in you. He is in you. You don't know, the presence of God and the Trinity is not just at Mass, but how we have lost that tremendous presence that is with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, not just Saturday Vigil Mass, not just Sunday, but every single day. And so when we wake up in the morning, He's right there with us, wanting to be present to us, and we to Him. That intimacy that He longs to have with us, that desire that He has to go through our whole day. My brothers and my sisters, children of God, everyone, the baptized, the confirmed, the little, the old, in your nursing home, where you are now, Some are so concerned and worried. Some are very much at peace. Wherever you are, He is in you. He's in everyone. He's in the nurse that comes to serve you your breakfast in the morning. See Him. It's not every one of us has Him. And He is in the one that you're serving if you're the nurse. What kind of attention do we pay to those people that we meet every day? It's Christ in one another. This magnificent, transforming teaching that we have of generosity that Abraham reveals, and the gifts that we receive when we're generous. People who give, receive. They receive that gift. Abraham and Sarah received the gift of their lives, their child, that magnificent Isaac. And each one of us is going to receive every day. The more you give to Christ who's present with you, the more you're going to receive from Him. And the more you are aware that it is Him in those who come to you, the more you're going to receive the peace of Christ. Mary has chosen the better part, that peace that she will have, that peace that she will live, because she has been listening at the feet of the Lord. She has been receiving from Him. And poor Martha, she is going to be anxious and worried and concerned about many things. The better part is not to serve Jesus even. All of us are involved, I hope, in trying to minister to Christ. But even as we do, we fail to receive from Him the awareness that we are in His presence. Even when we're doing things from Jesus, we could become exhausted, worn out, because we are unaware of His presence, who is within us and for whom we're doing it.
Monsignor, in Martha's particular situation, I mean, it seems as though she was trying to serve the Lord. She was doing what she thought she needed to do to lovingly care for Him. How did she get tripped up then? Many of us go about trying to do good for that person. But how do we end up becoming Marthas and not Marys?
Because many of us think of life as what I do rather than who I am. The deepest truth that Jesus is teaching us here is who I am is far more important than what I do. Mm-hmm. Our modern society says your value is in what you do. And we go around, because we've been taught this, and it's a lie, the deepest reality, because what do I have that I have not received? And from whom did I receive it? Who I am is a child of God. That's who I am. You might be a father of a family, but your basic, most intimate relationship is not your fatherhood to your children. Your basic, most intimate relationship is your sonship to God. You have received everything from God. And when you fail to be nurtured by the God who's giving you everything, then you don't have the strength to really minister to the children that He shared with you. Actually, more and more what I'm beginning to see in fathers and mothers is the drain they have, because they want to do for their children, and they fail to receive from the God who gave them. So that Mary is reflecting to us a tremendous truth, that she is receiving from the Lord, and therefore she will always be able to pass that on. That deep peace that she's experiencing in her heart, she's going to carry with her. It's very interesting, as there's another scene that shifts in the Gospel of John, where their brother dies. Mm-hmm. And they had sent word to Jesus that he's dying. The intimacy that Mary has with our Lord is very powerful at the scene of the tomb. The anxiety of Martha is still there. Jesus is there. It's to Mary that he says, you're going to see the glory of God. And that is the raising of Lazarus from the dead. The trust that's in Mary's heart that her brother will be raised from the dead. The relationship that Jesus has with Mary brings him to tears as he sees her suffering and compassionates with her. That relationship between Mary and Jesus, if you look at that scene there, that it has carried on in their lives. And so when we are in relationship with Jesus, what is the most important relationship that we have? It's relationship with God. Many of us do and serve God, but we don't have a relationship with him. There's a scene that I think is so powerful in this regard. It's the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. The 5 wise relationships, why couldn't they give the oil in their lamp to the 5 foolish virgins who had no oil and their lamps went out? Because the 5 wise had a relationship with the Lord, with the bridegroom. They were related to him. These bridesmaids were related to the bridegroom. They had a relationship of love with him. The 5 foolish were serving him. When they came knocking at the door, there's an interesting scene there. They said, Lord, Lord. He said, I don't know you. Well, we did this in your name. We did this in your name. We made miracles. But I don't know you. The person that I know isn't the one that was doing the things. The person that I know is the relationship that I have with you. Do you know the Lord? Do you have a relationship with him? Do you go to Mass and not really have that heart-to-heart relationship with God? Because when you die, that's who he is. That's who he really is. And there's an interesting psalm refrain in today's Mass that as you pray it in the Eucharistic celebration and you hear the readings, he who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord. We live in the presence of the Lord. God is present to us. Are you someone who goes to church and just is there? Or do you have a presence of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Are you in their presence? Is heaven and the Father, when you say the Our Father and you're at home, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Is it words you're saying, or are you present and addressing someone who hears what you're saying and will respond to you? It's a marvelous teaching today of the presence of God in whom we all live. As Paul says, I come to preach Christ within you. He is in you, and you will become perfect in him.
You know, Monsignor, it's interesting when you talk about Mary, because she actually, I think sometimes we forget that she was a doer in that. She did something that was so extraordinary in anointing our Lord for his burial. I mean, when it came time for her to do something that the Lord was calling her to do, what the Father was calling her to do, she did it, even when she got mocked.
And anointed him for his burial.
Mm-hmm.
The closeness of her to Jesus was that she was able to read his heart. She was able to see the impending doom. And many were missing the opportunity to see he's going to be dead in a few days. And so when she anointed him, it was for his burial.
Mm-hmm.
Because that heaviness in his heart was something she could read. How often did someone, you know, I noticed this with someone, and they go with great regrets. You know, if I knew that that was the last time I was going to see him, what I would have told him, what I would have said. But I really didn't. I didn't take the time to just hug my child. That day they went out the door, and I never saw them again. How important it is that when you have a presence of someone, that you relate to them. What Mary is going to teach us here, and what Jesus is teaching Martha, is it's important. She has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her. And so today, all of us will be doing many things, anxious about many things, and all of us will get caught into that, but to pay attention to the most important thing, and that is the relationship with God.
Final thought, Monsignor?
It's not what we do that's most important. It's who we are. You are a child, a daughter, a son of God. And God is your Father. You have the opportunity to unite yourself with him today. Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. We are one with the Father because of Jesus. God bless.
You've been listening to Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. To hear and or to download this reflection along with many others, go to discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of discerninghearts.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join us next time for Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef.